Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, looks like we are not getting the tune today, but I've been in fire away. Mwete, are we getting the tune tonight?
It's actually firing on the screen, but I could actually stop it, and then you can just go straight away. But it's the jingle is playing. It's just that I don't know why we can't get it.
Okay, let's forget about the jingle anyway. Yeah. Good evening, and welcome to the Crossfire broadcast coming to you live from the United Kingdom. My name is Eric Njovu here in London, together with my colleague Mwete Momba, who is today broadcasting from Nottingham. And on tonight's show, we have Mrs. Joyce Chivale, who is actually the widow of the late Polo goalkeeper, who died in the Gabon air disaster back in 2003. As you know, we've actually brought her on today because today was actually the memorial service held in honor of the much-loved sportsman who unfortunately died in the air disaster. Mwete, good evening, and how's Nottingham?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, pretty...
Good evening.
It's been raining slightly up north here, so not as good as I would like it to be.
Okay, fine. Our guest is ready. Let me just bring her in. Good evening, Joyce, and thank you very much for joining us on Crossfire today on not a very good day, but a day that you actually take a step back and remember our fallen heroes more, you know, for you, a husband and a father to your children.
Good evening. I'm fine, thank you. And Zambia is fine.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's, you know, at one point in life, a lot of us have actually lost a loved one, you know, and most listeners can actually identify with, you know, how difficult such times can be. And as for you, for us, we lost a sports icon. For you, you lost a husband and as well as a father to your children. 23 years on, what has the journey been? What has been the challenges that you've actually faced?
It has been a very tough journey, and there were so many challenges because some of us, the families, were not even working, so we didn't have anything to give to our children. As a result, some of the children haven't even gone to school. They haven't achieved much higher education for them to gain employment. But thank God for some. Through the grace of God, we fought hard so that at least some of them have been educated. But it wasn't easy. We went through a rough time because it took almost 10 years for us to be compensated by the government. It has to take us, the government, to court for them to compensate us, which was very bad.
Before we get to those details, I mean, your husband, Efford Chavala, who was a very good goalkeeper for Zambia as well as mighty Mufulira Wanderers, a lot of us just saw him on the pitch and on TV. What sort of a man was he to live with?
He was a very kind man, very caring, and ever jovial. And he was so much interested in football. I do feel bad when I think about football because he was so committed to it. It's really painful to lose him in such a way. And I really miss him a lot.
And how many children did he leave behind? And how old were they at the
time? He left behind. When my husband died, I had 4 kids and I was 5 months pregnant. So 5 months later, 4 months pregnant, and 5 months later, I gave birth to twins who have never seen their dad, and the daddy had no that chance of seeing the twins, but now they are grown up. So he left behind 6 kids, 4 boys and 2 girls.
it must be very difficult for you to actually. Yes, you wanted to say something?
Yes, what I wanted to say was it wasn't easy to look after these six kids because at that moment I was not even in employment. But thanks to Mflila Wanderers, they gave me a job as a credit sales clerk where I was working in order for me to look after the kids. And it took me to be minding the gates when there is a game against Mflila Wanderers and any other teams. So I just had to lower myself so that I can make ends meet for my children. And thank God my children have survived and now they are grown up because the oldest was just 12 years old, but now she's a nurse. The second born, who was 10 years old, is also an engineer working for KCM. The third born was just 7 years. But he did degree in biomedical sciences, and now he has got master's. He's even working for your university teaching hospital and is a part-time lecturer at Apex University. And the fourth born, who was just 4 years old, he also completed school and he did mechanical engineering at Copperbelt University. And he's also a site engineer working for Steeplejack. And the twins, the oldest, the girl, is doing pharmacy at Evelyn Horn College. And the boy is doing production management at Copperbelt University. But it wasn't easy for me to take care of all these kids. As you know, our economy in Zambia, once you are not in a proper employment or not getting much. But I really thank some people, more like the former FASI president, Kalusha Gwalia, Emmanuel Mnaile, the former players, and some of their relatives who really assisted in one way or another before we were compensated. They really helped, and they made me strong.
To be honest, people listening to this would actually say, well, Joyce, well done, because, not very many people in your circumstances would actually achieve to bring high-achieving children like you have done. What was the secret behind this? And I'm sure there are people out there who would actually want to sort of learn from how you were able to do this, given the circumstances you were in.
In the first place, we put God first. We knew that when we are born, sometime we have to die, and we have got hope in the resurrection. And secondly, we used to go we always pray to our God to give us strength. And secondly, I put first my children. I vowed that until my death, my children has to be educated because that was the aim of my husband. The time he was playing football, every time they lose, people were passing bad comments to say they are grown up, they are finished, they should stop playing. But all what he was saying was that he can't stop playing football because he has to take care of his children so that the children can go to school. So as a result, I had to take up from where he left because that death met him when he was looking for the money for the kids to go to school. So I had to do that. Had to sacrifice and strive to see my children become educated.
I mean, the seven-year-old and the twins, especially the twins who were actually born after his untimely death, I mean, the only picture they can draw in their minds is from the stories that you tell them. I mean, I'm sure they ask you a lot of difficult questions. I mean, there are some questions that you can actually share with us to say these are the questions they ask about their dad because probably they hear so much or read so much about their dad and how great he was.
Yes, they do ask, more especially the twins, because they never saw their dad. But the one who was 7 years old, he recalls the time he used to be taken to watch football at Mflila Wanderers and he used to see him on TV. And we had a videotape which was recorded against the game which they played against Mauritius, which was the last game. So we had that tape. So for those who were grown up enough, they used to watch it. But for those kids, they are just in suspense. They never knew what type of a father he was. So they really ask what type of a father he was. So I tell them that he was a very hardworking man, and he died on his way to find you money to go to school. I think that has also contributed to them to be in life and to take education up so that they can have a future, because their dad can't die just in vain, because he died on his way finding money to take care of his kids.
During that, the team made a stopover from their last game in Mauritius. They made a stopover in Lusaka before they started off for Senegal. Did you get a chance to either see him or talk to him on the phone? If you spoke to him, do you remember exactly what your conversation was about?
No, I didn't have that chance to talk to him, because they just took some hours, except for those who were in Lusaka, but he never called. Except when he was going, it's when he said, no, when I come back, I should bring money so that the children can go to school. I never talked to him, except that I'm so worried, and it pains me a lot when I look into the book which was written according to the conversation which was taken, which he said that the plane was not in good condition. Then when the reporter who was interviewing him, he didn't want to go into details so much, but he said, you come and complain to the government when they come back. And he told the journalist that we don't want to talk much because some of us have got jobs to keep. But unfortunately, the job which he wanted to keep cost his life, and no one really cared. That's what I can say, because there is no way we can take 10 years to be compensated, and 23 years, we haven't been told what really transpired on that fateful night. So it really pains me. I wish he stopped playing football. Maybe you would have been alive today.
I mean, it's very emotional, actually, having to be asked about a tragedy such as this one. But again, certain things really probably for some people heal properly when they talk about it. People are actually different. But again, also you remember that this is a man who was loved by the whole nation. They died, and to be honest, people don't even know what has happened to their families. I mean, it's quite good to hear that you are there, and you've actually brought up these six children who've actually, you know, gone to achieve very, very, you know, high qualifications. Now, today you're attending a memorial service in Lusaka, and after this, you go back to Mufulira, back to your life with your children. And it's just normal, you go and pick up your pieces. Is memorial time the only time that you, the widows and the families, are actually remembered by, you know, either the authorities or the people around you, people in Zambia?
That is the saddest part, because in each year around, you just find that only one day it's when people come together to remember those people who are dead. Even the authorities, they come to attend the memorial service, and some well-wishers, sympathizers, they come to support us more, especially like today's memorial. It was organized by SuperSport, FAS, and Zambia Breweries, of which we are so grateful. But all along, once we are gone, they forget about it until next year. It is very sad on that part.
I mean, the effort and his teammates, died when they were on duty. They were professional footballers. Their work was actually football, meaning that while other people go to offices, they went and played football because they were professionals. But do you think that, so for somebody who was who died during such national duty, and the support that you've actually been given, does it really match? Do the two really match?
No, it doesn't. That's why even before we were requesting to say that if they don't, if they have to appreciate what those guys did, they were supposed to be organizing matches on every memorial so that whatever they raise, they give out to those kids. But since they don't do that, it seems more like they have forgotten about those people who did a lot or who brought honor to this country. They have just concentrated on the new team. So as a result, we think that we have been neglected. That's why people think we make a lot of noise, we complain. It's not the matter of complaining, because those people were also heroes. They played for this country and they made Zambia proud. If you remember in 1988 when they went to Seoul, they beat Italy, of which everyone was wondering where Zambia was on the Africa, on the world map, just to find that it was a small country in Africa. So we don't think they have shown any appreciation according to what they did when they were alive.
Well, you just actually said that, 23 years on, you've actually never been told exactly what happened, whether they fought or was with the plane, or there were other factors that, other external factors that caused this. Although you actually say he did an interview, complained about the plane, but he didn't go into details. Does it mean the authorities have just been looking at you without actually giving you any form of explanation?
Last year we were told that that thing was a state secret, of which brought more hate to our feelings, because there is no way somebody dies, then the government come out to say it was a state secret. That's why even today we were pleading to say, please, if they can just call the families, tell us what really transpired, maybe we can rest that case. Because there is no way when somebody dies, then someone comes out and says it's a state secret, unless they will just feel, if they can just feel for us, so that they just tell us as families. That's what we are pleading for, Andy. I think maybe something maybe might come up, because the current president, who used to be our lawyer, and we used to fight with him for the same report, but unfortunately, I don't know why the turn of events. So we are just looking forward to the current president to see what will be his next move, because it's better you tell somebody the truth, and then that truth will let somebody forget about whatever transpired, because we'll find that we had no powers to stop it. So since we are not told, I think that's where the problem is. But we respect what they have said, that to say, no, it's a state secret, but it's really painful. It's a bitter pill to swallow. There is no way we can accept it just like that.
Were you written letters from either government or whoever was concerned to say this is a state secret, or somebody verbally spoke to you telling you that information? If any, somebody spoke to you, who is it? Or if somebody wrote a letter, who signed it?
We weren't written any formal letter. We just saw it into the paper to say, no, it's a state secret. So that's how we took it. As at now, that's what we are working on, and we are just praying that this current president will just bear with us, just give us audience so that we can discuss over that issue and put it to rest. No, we weren't written in letters. We haven't been told anything, or nobody wrote us a letter or signed it. We were just told that it's a state secret, and that's the end. And that message came from the current government, which said, no, that is a state secret, meaning they will not be able to release that report. And some time back, when the late Defense Minister, Mr. B.Y. Mwira, was on radio, on a certain radio station, Radio Chengero, he said that the Gabon report will come out when Jesus Christ comes, more like he was teasing us. So we saw it coming to say, no, this report will never come out. So that's our only worry. And for today, we just needed for the current president, being the lawyer who handled the case, we really, really looking forward to see him, seek audience with him. If he can
closure,
just tell us
closure.
The families, although.
Yeah, closure for such things, you know, helps with the healing process for anybody affected. Now, did the government have like a liaison officer appointed to actually liaise with you families? What was the communication like between the families affected and the government? Do you have like a committee which is like a link between the families and the government? If the committee was there, does it still exist, or somebody was just individual families were just liaising the government on an individual basis?
They are just on individual basis because there are no official. There is no official members who communicate with us. We just see them when they are invited at the memorial service. So sometimes they don't even show up. Wow, those people were just buried at the same place when they were being buried. We were promised to say, no, this thing will be a national thing. But you'll find that when time comes for memorial, whichever minister of sports comes in, he has got his own comments to make. Some say, no, this is now a family issue. Some say, no, we have mourned for a long time. Some say whatever they feel like saying. So it hurts a lot. It's more like we are pestering them. That's why we just take it up ourselves, more like families. Some of them usually go there always to remember the fallen heroes. There is nothing formal or no official or no committee has been made.
But
to
do you think
it will
actually be,
so we just make it.
Do you think as people affected, do you think it would actually work to advance formed for those people who are still living, formed a group which could, communicate with either is it FAS or the government, you know, just engage them other than fighting individual battles.
Like previously, we used to host memorial services on our own, but this time there are sympathizers, companies, more like I mentioned, SuperSport in conjunction with FAS, Zambia Breweries, and others. Sympathizers who used to come aboard to help us, more especially for us who come from Copper Belt. We are just being assisted by those sympathizers, but I've never seen any formal help from government to say, no, they'll be holding a memorial service, they have to take care of the families. No, except for those sympathizers who feel concerned, like SuperSport, Mount Choice, Zambia Breweries, in conjunction with FAS. But on the part of government, I think maybe just because they compensated us, it seems more like they are done away with it and they don't want to hear about it. Once you talk about it, they think you are politicking. So as a result, that's why now we just look at the way they have taken it.
So what was today's message?
Just check it ourselves.
I want to believe there was a representation from the government, maybe the Minister of Sport, Honorable Vincent Mali, maybe he attended, I don't know. But what was today's message?
On the part of the government, he just encouraged us to be strong, to continue being strong, and he said that he'll be there for us, and in case of anything, his door is open as a Minister of Sport. So we are just looking forward to that. If you have got any queries or anything, he mentioned to say we can go and see him at his office. So that's what we are looking forward to. Maybe he's going to honor what he said. But previously, there was nothing like that. Once we go to the offices of the government offices, we were being turned away. Last time there was this late president, we tried by all means to see him. We wrote some letters so that we can have audience with him, but it was all in vain. That's why this time we have got hope that this current president, being more like a family lawyer, the one who represented us, maybe is going to give us audience so that we can sit down with him telling our feelings, because the government have done their part. They have compensated us. They are concerning the report. They don't want to release the report. So it's better we sit down and discuss. We get it from the horse's mouth, other than just getting it from the papers to say, no, the report will not be out because it's a state secret. So to us as laymen, it's very difficult for us to understand, or it's very difficult for us to accept it. So it's really painful just to lose the loved ones just like that and not to be told whatever transpired on that fateful day.
I think we've got a caller before we continue with our discussion. Mwete, you've got a caller there.
Yes, let me just bring in a caller. Number ending 1342, you are live on Crossfire. Your name, please. Hello. Number ending 1342, you are live on Crossfire. Your question, please. Okay. We'll probably get back to...
Hello?
We'll probably get back to them.
Hello. Yeah, we're trying to get a question from a caller, but it looks like the caller...
Hello?
Hello. Yeah, we're still here. We're trying to get a question from a caller, but looks like a caller has decided not to speak.
Hello?
To our listeners, yes, we're still here, yeah. We can hear you loud and clear. Yeah. To our listeners across the globe, tonight we actually have Mrs. Joyce Chavala, who is a widow for the late Polo Polo goalkeeper Effort Chavala, talking to us. As you know, today was 23 years after the demise of the national team, which included Effort Chavala, her late husband. If you want to say something or ask a question, the number to call for the UK callers is 011-436-01992. The UK number is 011-436-01992. For the listeners in America, the number is 001-347-838-065. Listeners across the pond in America, the number is 001-347-838-065. And listeners in Southern Africa, you can get us on a South African number, which is 002711-083-869. Southern African listeners again is the number to call is 002711-083-869. You can also put your questions across via Twitter at Crossfire Radio 1. At Crossfire Radio 1 is our Twitter handle, or you can post your questions via Facebook. And looks like we've lost our guest. Mwete, what happened?
I don't know. I think maybe the British Zamta got to find something to blame these days. I will be bringing the guest back in. I'll be bringing the guest back in 2 ticks.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Like I said, tonight we are hosting Mrs. Joyce Chavala, who is a widow for the late Polo Polo goalkeeper Effort Chavala, who died in 2003 in the Gabon air disaster. And today was the memorial service, so she traveled to Lusaka to attend the service. She's highlighted a few issues. She says that the journey has been quite challenging, especially that most of the wives were not working at the time, and they left young children who really needed the support of their parents. And but nevertheless, some people have managed to, you know, pick the pieces and move on despite you know, the problems. And also is that it took the government 10 years to actually compensate these families, and it actually didn't go without court appearances. Funny enough, she says that the lawyer representing these families is the current president, His Excellency Edgar Lungu. Hello, Mwiti, are you back?
Yes, I am back. I've got the callers are back on the screen, so I might as well try and bring one of them in before you take it up. So let me just bring somebody in. Caller, Michael Ken, 1933. You are live on Crossfire. Your name. Welcome to the show.
Hello there. This is Michael Kane.
Oh, dear. That's an automated message. Michael Kane is trying to sell us something probably on live radio. Yes, Eric, do continue.
Okay, great. Guys, welcome back. You said that it took 10 years to be compensated, and this was after, going to court. What was the problem on the part of the government? Why did it take so long?
Hello, Joyce, are you there? Hello. Well, we've lost her again.
Okay.
I don't really know exactly what's happening, but I will bring her back on.
Please do. Yeah, we lost Joyce Tabala once again, and we're just trying to bring her back on. I mean, really, it's quite disheartening what these families have gone through, going by what Joyce is actually sharing with us. One just wishes that things could be, done slightly differently in dealing with, bereaved families, especially those, who died on national duty. She actually says that it looks like the only time these families are remembered during memorial services, and she's pointed out that in the past families have come together to arrange these memorial services, but at the moment they have companies like MultiChoice, Zambian Breweries, and another company she mentioned that are actually helping with these memorial services, which is quite good corporate governance on the part of these companies. Mwiti, are you back?
Yes, we are back.
Okay, great. Welcome back again.
Thank you.
Yeah, Joyce, my question was that why did it take 10 years and a court appearance for the government to actually compensate the families?
Since when the accident happened, they were just promising to say they will release the report. So when we saw that time was running out, we were not being compensated, and we were going through problems because the government, when those players died, the government promised that they will educate the children. So we never saw that coming. We had to struggle and fend for ourselves. So when we saw that time was running out, that's how we decided to engage the lawyer who is the current president of this country, Zambia. And after fighting, we really appreciate what the lawyers did, more especially the current president, including the one he worked with, because he was in partnership with another lawyer. So it took almost 10 years for them to compensate us, and it has to take us to court for us to be compensated. They never did it willingly. So we were so worried because they never fulfilled the promises which they made to say they will look after the families and take the children to school. They never did that. Up to this time, when you go around, you find that many of the children haven't even had a chance to go to school. Some of them haven't even completed school. So that was our worry. That's why we took them to court. So it took almost 10 years. We were just fighting for that battle until we won the case and we were compensated by the, if I'm not mistaken, if he was not the third, he was the, yes, the third president, the late President Lev Manoasa is the one whose government took up that lead to compensate the families, but without a report. So since then, we have been fighting for the report since we were compensated. So we never knew why we were being compensated without being told what really caused the death of those people. That's why we were always asking about it. But this current government has mentioned to say, no, that report will never come out because it's a state secret. And that one has also brought us too much misery. And it seems it's more like not being fair to all the families, because whoever dies has to be, the remaining surviving people, our family members, has to be told what has really happened. Even if they don't want to tell the whole nation, it's better they just tell it to the families so that we can rest this case. It doesn't mean we are challenging them, but we have got the right to know why or what really transpired. What killed those guys, so that we can tell it to our grandchildren, because those players who died this time, they even have got grandchildren. Their children have grown, some are married, and they have got kids who are even asking about the death of their grandfathers. So what are we going to tell them since we don't have an official report? So it doesn't mean by asking for the report, we are more like challenging the government or being political, or we are not politicking, but we have got the right to know what really transpired. So we just really appeal to the government if they can just feel for us, to just tell us the family what
think,
really happened.
Yeah. Do you think this is something that you probably would want to address in a court of law again, just like you did for the compensation? Because it looks like successful governments are not listening to lone voices, wanting to know exactly what happened.
The lawyers raised about the report, but they never did anything. The government didn't take up any that issue seriously until they compensated us. Maybe they thought maybe once we are compensated, then we'll forget about the whole issue. But money is not everything. What we lost was more than money. So that's why we wanted to know what really happened. So after they compensated us, that's why we continue to ask for the report, because we really wanted to know what really transpired, because there is no way you can compensate somebody if you haven't told someone what really transpired or what really caused the death of that loved one. So despite being compensated, that's why we kept on asking for the report. We really wanted to know. And we really wanted to know who really caused that accident, so that maybe justice can even be, can prevail.
No compensation can ever, heal the loss that you
compensate for
you
the
suffered.
Loss of our loved ones.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
No. There's no amount of money, but without actually, being so intrusive as to knowing how much you got, that is not our agenda. But do you think that you were quite satisfied with the amount of compensation you got, or they could have done better?
If that money was shared equally, maybe it would have been better, even if it came a long time. But the problem arose during that time when we were being compensated. The issue came up, like some were professionals, some were local players. So for those who were on the part of the local players, it was more like they were unfair to us, because those professionals got more money than the local players, so which was very unfortunate and very unfair, because we are supposed to share that money equally, because those people were on national duties. We got the money from the clubs where we are playing according to the services, but unfortunately, when the government compensated us, the issue came up to say, no, the professionals must get more than the local players, which was not fair, because they were all on national duties. They died on the same cause. So I can't say it was fair. It wasn't.
So
some
got
away
told,
with much money more than.
How did you come to know that the professional players were actually their families were compensated more than you, and would you know how much the difference would have been between the local players and the professional players?
The government released about 16 billion, but you find that some were entitled to be given 5 billion, while the lowest was being given in like something like 40 million at that time, which is now 40,000. There were a lot of discrepancies, of which we even differed with the first lawyers, more like this current president and his partner. We split. So we took up another lawyer, us who were aggrieved, to say no, the way they shared the money was not fair. So we split. 25 families looked for another lawyer, while those five who were professionals, they remained with the first lawyers. So we don't know which formula they used to come up with such figures, so which up to this time we don't understand.
When you fly commercial airlines, sometimes insurance is actually incorporated in the ticket, or you can buy insurance. And one would assume that people on national duty would have some form of insurance, which in circumstances such as yours, the family would be paid out. But in this case, they used a Zambia Air Force plane. Was there any form of insurance, knowing that air travel can, much as it is, nowadays it's slightly safer, but anything can happen, like what happened to your families. Was there some form of insurance that that was given to these players, or because it's a military plane, no insurance, just jump in and that's it?
That's our most worry, because we don't know why there came some, why there was some discrepancies. Because if there was an insurance, maybe they would have compensated each family equally according to the players which were on the plane. But unfortunately, since there were some discrepancies, so I'm not sure whether they took into consideration the insurance. And there were some rumors to say, no, since they used that Buffalo plane, which was for the army, so those players were not insured, something like that came up. But I can take it like it was more like rumors, but this story is just confusing and painful. We don't really understand fully what really was done. Mm. So we don't know whether they were insured, or what, or whether it was the plane which was insured, because the plane belonged to the military. So we were ignorant about it. And since that time, when we were compensated, some of us were so desperate that we wanted to take our children to school. We didn't have, we were living in poverty. So once we saw the compensation coming, we were so excited to say, now we are compensated. We thought maybe next it will be the report so that we know what really transpired. Unfortunately, we were just being compensated, and that's when that problem came in, whereby some got more money than others. So that thing also shocked us, and it even brought divisions. Up to this time, we are not in good books with those who got a lot of money, more than those who got less. Even the lawyer himself, with the current president, I think he's not happy. He's not very much happy with us who were aggrieved. I think maybe even that thing has also contributed to him not taking us or having audience with us, because we differed in one way or another when he took up the case.
A few years ago, a footballer called Vivien Foy, an African footballer, I think he was playing in France, died while playing football. And if I remember well, there was a lot of support given to his family. And I think FIFA even actually did some payout. I could be wrong, but I remember reading something to that effect. Did FIFA ever chip in? Because these people were on World Cup duties, which is a FIFA tournament. Hello, Joyce, you there?
We've lost it again. I'm pretty sure it can't be our problem this end.
No blame culture here, Mwiti. No blame culture.
No. Otherwise, you and I would have been losing connection to the system, but we are not. So, yes, we'll be back. But let me try and bring in this caller, just off chance that they are now near the phone. Number ending 1342. Your name, please.
Another Michael Ken.
I know somebody happily listening there, and I think slightly away from their phone. Okay, we'll be back.
Yeah, again, once again, now tonight we are hosting Mrs. Joyce Chavala, who is a widow for the former the late Polo Polo goalkeeper Efod Chavala, who died in the Gabon air disaster, sharing with us what her experiences, from 2003 to date. She's just actually pointed out something quite interesting here, that the compensation was not equal as the so-called professional footballers playing outside Zambia, their families got more money compared to those players who were playing locally. And according to her, this actually led to the aggrieved families to dump the current president and his partner, who were the original lawyers, to go and seek legal redress with another lawyer. However, those other families who got a better deal are stuck with them. It would be good to actually for the president to make a comment or a mention these issues. He presented these families, and I'm sure he's got every detail. And I wonder where he stands in terms of producing the report, because this is something that he fought for as a lawyer, I guess. Yeah, but you back?
Yes, we are back, and Ms. Chavala is on.
Ms. Chavala, I don't know whether it's your line, but people are losing you.
But me, I'm getting news.
Okay, good. That's good. That's what we want. And my question was, a few years ago, there was a footballer called Vivien Foy, an African footballer playing football in France. He died while playing football, and the support that followed was massive. And I remember, I think FIFA also chipped in big time. Did FIFA chip in into your during your loss?
Yes, during the loss, a year later, they just brought up the $5 million for each family, but they just gave it to the football family, except for those who belong to the ZAF. When I say $5 million, I'm quoting in the old currency. As at now, in the Zambian currency, I can say it's 5,000 kwacha per family, and it was just given to the football family, except for those who belong to ZAF. So I don't know which criteria they used. Yes, FIFA came in. They gave family 5,000 kwacha a year later.
But do you think
that was
FIFA,
the only help with?
But you
compared
FIFA,
to the.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, what I'm saying is, according to what they did, we really appreciated what they brought to us, since we didn't know the criteria which they were using. But when Mark Vivien Foy died, we understand that the family was massively compensated. But in our case, even if you come round, interview the families, see how they live, what they have done, you find that a lot of them just live in poverty. Their children are not able to complete schools and they don't do anything, of which from that time the parents died, they'll still be suffering until their death. They are still struggling. But some of them, by the grace of God, who has been educated, whose parents fought hard to make their to find life for their children, future for their children, they are the ones who are just trying. But on the part of government, FIFA, we just got 5 million kwacha from FIFA, 3 million kwacha from the government, which was given after, I think, 2 years, you know, a year later. Also, government gave us 3 million kwacha. At first, they said they compensated us, and they gave 7,000 kwacha to the team which took over after our husbands died. So when we protested to say there is no way they can give us this 3 million kwacha compensation, and they based on what, so they turned around to say, no, it was a government contribution. That was the way back in 1994. So since then, it's when we started fighting for the report, because we wanted to know what really transpired so that we can fight for the compensation. But instead of giving us the report, it's only the compensation which came forth. And that compensation also brought problems, which I previously talked about. Instead of giving us across the board, because those guys were all on national duties, but there were a lot of discrepancies, of which has even brought divisions according to among the families and the lawyers. We split. Our friends who benefited much remained with the first lawyers, and us who were aggrieved, we looked for another lawyer. So it brought a lot of problems. Even this time, we're not in the teams.
We hear about sportsmen and women, even those winning Big Brother Africa, being showered with houses and other gifts by government and private sector. Yet, you know, for people in your circumstances, you actually had to fight for the little money that you got from the authorities. How do you actually look at a situation such as this one, really, where, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure it doesn't go down very well.
It's more like we were not fairly treated. That's why we even complain. But people think that we just want money. It's not money. All what we want is the government to show appreciation. And to those who are playing football this time, they have to take a leaf from me to say, no, since this time I'm playing, tomorrow, if I stop playing or in case I die, my family will be able to be looked after. Because if you think about that team, I think it was a cream of football. Everyone was praising it. It was so organized. It brought Zanda on the world map. So they were supposed to appreciate them. So the way they have treated the surviving relatives, I don't think the government has really shown appreciation, because we were compensated just because they were on duty. Suppose they were not on duty, I don't think we even have got anything from the government. That's why we always complain. They were supposed to put some measures so that they can show that they really appreciate it. That's why some of us, we are even against football. We don't even support them when they play, even when they brought the Africa Cup, when they won it. It was more like adding salt to an injury, because they were so excited, and those people who won, those players who won the Africa Cup, were given a lot of money. When we asked if they can also assist us, we were told off just by asking to say, can't you give us something since you have got this cup, which our husbands were also fighting for, and you won it in the country where they died? But we were told off. So we think they just died in vain, and it's really painful.
You've mentioned a couple of names, and one of them is the former first vice president, Kalusha Bwalya, that he's been very, very helpful. Were they very good friends?
Yes, very, very. He was more like a brother to my husband, and he was helping on an individual basis. Yes, he really helped me. Every time I ran to him, he used to help me. I can't complain against him. He really helped me, including Pongali Wewe. Even if he wasn't friends with him, he used to help, even Emmanuel Mnaide. Those were the close friends who really helped. Those are the people I relied on every time I was in problems. When I go to them, they really helped me. But for my friends, I can't talk, for sure.
You know, as a family, as a wife, who suffered such a loss, you know, because of this tragedy, can you point out things that the government and FARS did well during that time and probably up to today, and those things that they didn't do so well? Because we are only human beings. We can't actually tell whether this will happen again or will not happen again.
On the part of the government, they didn't do well because it took almost 10 years for them to compensate us. Secondly, when they compensated us, it took us to go to court. It took us to take them to court for them to compensate us. So when we went to court, it meant that we have to get the money through the lawyers. And the way we were compensated, that's why what I mentioned about it, that some discrepancies came up, whereby some got away with a lot of money, while others didn't, more like local players. We didn't get much, but those were professionals did. So on that part, we complained, but the government never said anything. They said, no, that is the job of the lawyers. As a result, we differed with the lawyers whom we started the case with, and we split. And they did well by compensating us. Suppose they made a follow-up as government, since those people on national duties, they gave the money across the board, we wouldn't be complaining this time. Secondly, concerning the report, if they knew that report can't come out, on my part or on behalf of others, maybe we would have appreciated if they had just called us. We sit down, we discuss, and give us the reasons why that report can't come out, maybe, and tell us something which can satisfy us. Maybe would have stopped making noise, because it seems more like we are making noise. But what they don't understand is that we are not comfortable, and this case is not yet rested, because we don't know what really happened, what really transpired on that fateful night, and it's almost now 23 years down the line since those people died. And on the part of FARS, they never took up any step to help the families or organize any memorial service. It was just coming out from sympathizers, more like I mentioned, the Super Sport, Zambia Breweries, and the FARS were the third party. They were just being the custodians. When Super Sport, Mouth Choice, Zambia Breweries comes in, or anyone who wants to help concerning transport or arrangement of the memorial service, it's when FARS was being included. It's more like FARS being the mother body for the Football Association of Zambia, which used to take care of those players of football itself. They never took up anything, except for only, I think if it is 2 or 3 years ago, they came up with the idea of saying they will be commemorating every 5 years. And only for 1 year, when the former FARS president, Kalusha Gwalia, was FARS president, he organized a game against Zimbabwe, of which the gate-takings were given to the families. But, you know, Zimbabwe and Zambia, the monies which were raised, we can't complain, because the beggar is not a chooser. We really appreciated, and we thought maybe if they were doing this all along, maybe even some of the children would have gone to school, because the government didn't do well. They promised to say they would educate the children up to university level, which they never did that. So that was the bad part on the government and FARS.
In this country, actually, very close to where my co-host Mweti lives, I'm sure as somebody who has been very close to football, you must have heard about the Hillsborough disaster when Liverpool played against Sheffield. There was confusion in the stadium, and about, I think, 91 Liverpool supporters actually died. I can't remember the year.
96 people died, yes.
1958 or when?
No, no.
Okay. No, no, it's 26 years ago when it happened.
Okay.
And then 96 people died.
Okay. What now, those families have actually been fighting ever since. And the case is just being resolved in court this week, I think, in favor of those families affected. Do you think you can take a leaf from this fighting spirit from the people of Liverpool?
I'm hoping we have not lost her. Saying that I think we have lost her, which is quite unfortunate.
All right. Wait, what sort of lines are you using where you are? I think they're not good.
No. If I was losing connection, I'd probably say that. But I'm not. I do suspect that it could be something in between ourselves and Zambia. But before I bring her in, back on, there is a comment from a listener in Zambia who's unfortunately her husband was on the plane as well, and I assume he must have been the pilot. She's written something on our Facebook page, and she says the outcome of the compensation was very shocking. We spent years chasing for equal compensation, only to have five families cut away with 75%. We could not understand how a pilot was not rated as a professional. So that's from Pamela Muvanga Mwanza, who is listening in from Zambia. That's very, very unfortunate. I think her husband was Lieutenant Colonel Victor Muvanga, who was part of the crew on that fateful flight. Eric, let me just bring her in, and hope I haven't lost you.
No, I'm right here. I'm right here waiting for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm right here waiting for you. Yeah.
Let me just bring her back on. But that already, you know, shows the enormity of You know where the problem was. If you have five families taking away 75%, that surely is going to bring some problems, isn't it?
It's shocking. It's shocking. It's shocking. Really, I don't know how the authorities managed to do this. I mean, 75% to five people out. So that means that the 20 people, because there were 25 people on the plane. So it means the 20 people shared the 5%. It's very, very shocking. That is a comment from a listener in Zambia, Pamela Muvanga, who I think is a widow for the late Lieutenant Colonel Victor Muvanga, who I believe was the pilot for the plane, who actually echoes what Mrs. Joyce Chavala has said, that some families of so-called professional footballers who were playing outside Zambia got a lion's share. And according to Pamela Mwanga, he says that these five families got away with 75% of the total money, so which makes that 20 people shared 5%. This is really meager, and to be honest, it's a miscarriage of justice.
Okay, Erica, we are back. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Welcome back for the upteenth time.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was saying that, is there something that you can learn from the people of Liverpool who've been fighting for about 26 years for justice, for having lost their family members who went to watch a football match in Sheffield at Hillsborough. You know, the case has been going on for so long, but finally they've actually getting some justice. Do you think you can learn something from them and fight on still, so that maybe either the conversation can be revisited, and at least most importantly, the report can be...
That's why we even fight for... That's why we also fight for that report, because even those you are mentioning about the soccer fans who are watching the game against Liverpool and...
Sheffield Wednesday.
Come again?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Hello?
Hello, Sheffield,
yeah.
Sheffield,
yeah,
Wednesday.
Sheffield Wednesday.
Hoping we have not lost her, because that would be really bad.
It just shows you're not doing a good job, my dear.
No. I'm doing everything I can and keeping everything cooking this end. But her line is I'll probably have to ask her for an alternative line. Just so that we can safely continue, I think. So I'll definitely be back.
Okay. Yeah. So I've just asked her if the aggrieved families for the Gabon air disaster can actually get a lift from what the Liverpool, the Hillsborough disaster families have done for 26 years. They've been fighting for justice, and finally they are actually coming to see justice done. One actually, a senior police officer, a commander, I think, in Yorkshire, has just been placed on leave because I think he was somehow connected to that disaster, which they said that the police did not do a good job when it came to crowd control. But the Zambian case, I guess, it's a very difficult one because one, a military plane was used. A military plane belongs to the government. The government runs the show. So probably that's actually something that adds, the dynamics of difficult to this scenario. But once again, I mean, for five families to get 75% of the compensation, I do not know what maths the authorities are used in here. Like Pamela Mubanga, who was listening from Zambia, says, I don't know how a pilot cannot be deemed as a professional. And also the other footballers, whether they played at home or they played abroad, they were all footballers. It's not like people like Efod Chavala would actually go and work underground and then go and play football after work. He played football as a living. He was employed as a footballer. So to me, and to a lot of people listening out there, I think that qualifies him to be a professional footballer. But do we as Zambians describe professional football as somebody playing abroad, playing in Europe or wherever? I do not think so, because there are people who actually earn a living playing football. So to me, that's those are professional footballers. But again, those are the difficulties that we actually face. And having said that, she also pointed out that the current president was one of the lawyers representing these families. Now, he finds himself in a very, I guess, strange position, or awkward position, that he's now head of state. And now, is he going to fight for what he was fighting for as a lawyer? And obviously, he is not, because he hasn't commented on this issue, and it was only come to light today that he was actually one of the lawyers. Mwete, you sound as if you're back.
Yes, we've used an alternative number, so hopefully this one holds. You've got Ms. Chabala back on the line.
All right. Mrs. Chabala, we are going to blame it on my colleague. He's not doing a good job. But why does he keep losing you? Yeah, we were talking about the Liverpool case. What can you learn from there?
We are going to be patient for the second day, and still continue waiting. That's why I talking to the students in Sola, they can talk and see the way forward about the report and see justice be there. Because those who are paid, they have spoken about in 6 days and asked if it be 2 years. Or they were so patient, I really appreciate their patience, and we can also continue to be patient about next alone.
When we lost you, there was a comment from a listener in Zambia who probably you may know, somebody by the name of Pamela Mubanga, and we're not sure but want to believe she is the widow of Lieutenant Colonel Victor Mubanga, who was probably the pilot. And she just echoed what you actually said, that the so-called five professionals got 75% of the share, while the rest shared the 25%. Sounds like what happened?
That's what I said. That's not Hello?
Yeah,
your comment, Ms. Chawal, about that, yeah.
I didn't get
the new line is actually even worse. Can you, maybe if she can get you, can you actually just tell about the comment?
Okay. Ms. Chawala, can you hear me? Line, yes, sounds really, really bad. I hope that puts your mind at rest. I'm not to blame.
Well, since we are in the we are almost concluding, probably we couldn't use the first line. It was probably better than this, to be honest.
Yes, I can.
Apologies to our listeners. I think the communication has actually deteriorated as we progress into the program, but we are actually coming towards the end of our show, and our guest for tonight is Mrs. Joyce Chawala, who is the widow of the late Chipolopolo goalkeeper Effort Chawala, who was a very, very, you know, for those people who coming from that era, you remember he was a very, very good goalkeeper who actually played in a very, very, very good side, and I think we had a lot of hope for that team. Unfortunately, you know, fate as it would be, we actually lost that team on the 27th of April in 2003 off the coast of the Gabon, when the Zambia Air Force aircraft, the Buffalo, the Canadian-made Buffalo DHC-5D crashed into the Atlantic Ocean about 5 kilometers off the coast of Gabon, killing all the 25 passengers on board. Of course, on board there were ZAF personnel, as the aircraft belonged to ZAF, Zambia Air Force, as well as football officials. There was, you know, not the board names, Alex Chola, for those people who remember him from Mufula Blackpool, as well as Power Dynamos, and, you know, the legendary Alex Godfrey Chitalo, who was the manager who played for Kitty
United. I'm just getting the one who's commenting.
All right, Eric, we are back with
right.
Chawala now. I've just explained to her the comment from Pamela, and your comment to that, Ms. Chawala.
What did Pamela say?
No, Pamela did comment on the fact that most of the money went to the... She says the outcome of the compensation was shocking. We spent years chasing equal compensation, only to have five families cut away with 75%. We could not understand
how 25
could not be rated as a professional.
Surely, that's why I even said there was a big discrepancy between the professional and the local players, because they gave much money to the five professional players. Out of 16 billion, the highest among professionals, I think, got about 5 billion, which is 5 million this time.
while those among the locals got the lowest got about 40,000 or 40 million. So if you can help me understand also, that's why I say the compensation was not equally shared. Why didn't they just share it across the board? Because they were all on national duties. And we all got all our benefits from the respective clubs where our husbands used to play football or work. But why the government compensation did it bring those discrepancies? Up to this time, we don't really understand. That's why I even mentioned to say that discrepancy even brought divisions between the families. The professionals went their way with the lawyers who fought for that money, and us, we had to look for another lawyer to fight for us. I also don't understand why there was such a discrepancy.
So, Mrs. Chavala, if the authorities wanted to learn anything from this experience, and probably the, I'm saying, if the authorities wanted to learn anything from that experience, or to even be better prepared for any catastrophes that may befall Zambia, and they asked you for comments of how better they can, you know, handle such situations, what would you tell them?
We've lost her again, unfortunately.
Right. Okay.
I want to.
All
I
right.
don't know
so,
whether
okay.
it's where she
well,
is.
I don't know. Well, I think probably we've actually tried, and we've almost come to the end of the. The program. What we just do is we just call her offline and just thank her for the time. I mean, it's a very difficult topic to talk about. You know, it brings a lot of memories about a beloved one you lost, and you know, it's you know, for her to really come out and talk to us, I think I'd take my hat off of her really, and I'll be thanking her offline. But what do you think? How do you think this issue has been handled?
Unfortunately, I don't think it's been handled that well, really, unfortunately. It's quite sad that, you know, like Ms. Chavala said, you know, these people now are beginning to have grandchildren who are now beginning to ask questions, and you know, we are now down into the third generation, and you know, like she said, money is not everything. It's just about knowing exactly what happened, and I think that will give them a bit of closure or something to work from, you know, in order for them to maybe that may actually get them to, you know, mourn in private about, you know, and you know, with a lot more dignity, rather than having to come keep coming to Lusaka every year in April hoping that something is going to change, and nothing is really changing.
Yeah, and what actually what is shocking is really how we've actually not that people should not be honored, how we've actually, you know, the system has run around, you know, say the boxers who've gone to, you know, to win, you know, titles. Oh, you know, somebody wins the title, they get money for it as well. But we go ahead, we go on to give them houses and this and that. I mean, really, it's not a complaint, but an observation. And, you know, we had the Cherise Makuvale, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But she won their Big Brother, and look at the fanfare that followed. But look at how these people have actually been treated. I think it's been, you know, shabby. You know, it's been very shabby.
Yeah. Very, very, very shabby. I mean, you know, you know, Ms. Chavala mentioned, she said the team that took over from the national team that died, when they came back, they were all paid 7,000 $7,000 each. While that was, you know, the team that had lost their loved ones only a few months ago were still fighting for, you know, scraps of the rich man's table, in this case, the government.
Yeah, well, it's very, very unfortunate, and I just hope, I hope the authorities, be it the current government or whoever is going to take over after December, may revisit this. And, like I said, you know, people of Liverpool, they fought hard, and I hope the people of Zambia, you know, the affected families would actually, you know, just, you know, get encouragement from the people of Liverpool to fight for, you know, for justice, fight for better compensation, fight for the release of the report. A lot of Zambians are actually quite interested in that report. You'd wonder to say why, if it's true, it's become a state secret. Why has it become a state secret? Does somebody know that probably the aircraft that was used was not airworthy? There's been talk about the aircraft not being in a very good condition. But again, the people who are alleged to have complained about the aircraft obviously have all died in the crash. So there's nobody to come and say that, yeah, we were hearing funny noises as we were flying and this and that. So we'll never know.
But you know, the here is how the case pans out here. I mean, we're talking of all these years, 26 years after the Hillsborough disaster, and the, you know, families have got justice. Families, you know, their loved ones were blamed for the deaths because they were, they, you know, the police kept blaming the fans, and now that the whole thing has turned on its head, the jury has found that actually the fans died unlawfully. What happens next? What happens is that the following day after the verdict comes out, the South Yorkshire Chief Constable has been suspended from his job. So, you know, we are talking because he was part of the group of people that actually gave evidence to the contrary. And once the evidence has come back, once the verdict has come back different, you know, they've said, no, he does not deserve to actually be in that office. Now, this is how serious our friends take, you know, take these things. How can we have people just die like that? And somebody says it's a state secret. It does not happen like that.
No, it doesn't. I don't know. It's I guess it's two different systems. But I just hope our people, the authorities, would take seriously some of these issues that affect the people. Because I mean, if a minister would actually say that the report will come after Jesus has come back, that is mocking the families that are affected.
Well, anyway,
that has been today's broadcast, where we featured Mrs. Joyce Chiavala, who is a widow of the late Polo goalkeeper Effort Chiavala. Those my age, and including younger people like Mweti, would know something about Effort Chiavala, who was a great goalkeeper for Zambia as well as
I watched him live. I was lucky enough to have gone to Nshinde Stadium, I think once or twice. So I actually watched him live. I was young, of course, but yes, you know, it was something that you always sat there and you thought, wow, you know, those were the guys.
But I thought you lived in Kitwe.
I lived in Kitwe, but for real, I was just down the road.
Okay, all right.
Put it all just down the road.
Okay, all right. I'll let you go for that. Yeah, so, well, that has been a live broadcast from Crossfire with myself, Eric Njove, in London, and Mwete Momba in Nottingham. And we look forward to having another date with you next Thursday when we bring you another exciting interview. Well, this one wasn't exciting. It was very touching because of the circumstances, but it has actually, you know, at least informed us by speaking to the person who is directly affected by the Gabon air disaster. I mean, what they passed, what they went through, and how they were treated. I'm sure they could have been treated much better, and I'm sure you could actually get even more by speaking to a lot of people that are affected, who most of them are still living. And we actually did this because today was the memorial service for the team that perished off the Gabon coast. So we thought it would be time, it would be a good thing to actually bring in somebody who was affected. And thank you very much to Kennedy Kaonga at Kennedy Gondwe, who actually gave me a contact at very, very short notice. If Kennedy, if you're listening, thank you very much. Really appreciate your quick response connecting me to Mrs. Chavala and her son. Mwete, what do you think is on the horizon for next week? I know
next
that the Zambian...
Yes, next week I suspect between now and our next broadcast we should be having a whole list of the adopted candidates from some of the political parties. So it would be good to actually grab one or two in, probably grill them. What I've seen about 2016 is the fact that we have quite a lot of new people on the scene jostling in to get in on the action. Not as much of the household names that we've known in the past. So it would be quite good to actually get some of these people in and be able to ask them exactly what they are offering, what is it that they could bring that the other people have not brought to the table already, and whether if such people ever went to Manda Hill, whether they would change the caliber of the debate that goes on there, bearing in mind that the Rainbow Party leader. That's really,
yeah.
Really, really bad of me. It's been a long day, isn't it? Yes.
He said
the Zambian MPs are so dour such that you could give them. You could give them literature to read, and even 2 weeks in advance, and go with it to Parliament, and they'll still not have read or not know, or they'll be shouting, "Is here, here." So it would be quite interesting to be able to catch a few people who are aspiring to go into Parliament and get to know exactly what they are offering and what new stuff they are going to bring to the table in terms of the people that actually will be voting for them. I posted something today on social media where I said I'm getting a bit worried about the chiefs in Zambia who are becoming. Chiefs are supposed to be apolitical, aren't they? But I'm just getting a bit worried. Because, suddenly we've started seeing chiefs being paraded, we are just roughly about four months away from an election, and I was questioning how good that is really, to the whole political setup in our country. But that's a story for another day.
Well, I mean, as you know, in our, political setup, anybody who comes with, Mr. Moneybags will actually, call the shots. you know, you just say jump, and just they'll just ask how high. But on that same note, you know, this is a time when these aspiring candidates will come and tell you how they'll be good for you know, good servants for the people. But when they get into power, they get very, very big headed. And I hate naming names, but when you actually talk to these people, when you know, especially when you want to actually engage with them through our, say, our platform, you know, because they are answerable to these people, to our listeners, you know, they will actually tell you, you contact them, they don't even, you know, they don't even respond. You speak to somebody and you think he's going to get back to you. And the question, in, you know, I have, the name I have here is Honorable Kalaba. You know, they just, don't they know how to read? I spoke to the man.
Oh, but by the way, I think Honorable Kalaba, isn't he the one who's nearly sending or giving giving Venon over
to Museveni. Yes, he's the one. That's why he wanted him to bring him over. I sent him a message. He didn't respond. I phoned him. He answered and said, "Oh, well, I'm in a meeting. I don't know how you answer a phone in a meeting. Anyway, I'm in a meeting." I said, "Okay, fine. I'll send you a message. Please respond to it." He didn't even respond. I think they lie to people that they are actually going to be the servants, and when they go there, they get there, they become too big for their boots. And well, yeah, you voters, you know what you vote for.
You vote wisely. You
know, vote wisely.
But then
anybody who to vote for. Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, but then when, you know, when we talk about, does it warrant you know, comment that Dr. Mwanga made? Does it warrant sending him over, whether to be questioned or whether to be whatever, by another country, bearing in mind that, you know, where is our independence there? How many countries hand over their citizens to, you know, to anybody?
Well, countries would, if you've got, extradition treaty, for certain, well, crimes, countries would actually send, you know, they will hand over people. But really, I think Mr. Mwanga is a private citizen, and as private citizens, we can say a lot of things. And now, are we going to be handing over our citizens to people like Museveni or Mugabe? If I said about anything about Mugabe, is Mr. Honorable Kalaba going to send me to Zimbabwe? No, it's only that. Dr. Mwanga has actually thrown his weight towards the opposition. If Dr. Mwanga was actually a PF supporter, that wouldn't have actually that wouldn't have come up. And the next thing also
Honorable
Dr.
I don't know. Well, people are saying if you're not happy, then you are just a hater. I don't know.
A lot of people have received doctorates or whatever, this, that, and the other. And some people want to carry it on their heads. Other people just want to keep it nice and quiet. I mean, there are a lot of people who have kept it nice and quiet. And, the man received his doctorate from some university in California. I don't know which one. There are a lot of universities in California. And I particularly don't know any. I tried to research anyone called the University of California. It's always University of California and the SNM. But, well done. I mean, he's been recognized for, what our local universities haven't actually seen in the man. But, well done. We'll send him a congratulations card.
He'll probably think you're pulling his leg or something, and they will. But it will be quite interesting anyway to know, and we hopefully he can try and be or behave like a doctor, so that his title carries that value rather than lecturing people.
Yeah. Did you get the details of why he was selected to get the doctorate?
According to his post on social media, it's based on his contribution to his constituency and the contribution for being one of the most influential politicians of this generation or something of that sort. I'm sure Julius Malema would have also been given one by now, before they recognize our good honorable doctor. But we can only just wish him the best.
Yes, that's well, he's always worked hard, he deserves it. So who are we to say he doesn't deserve it? Well, like I said, can you make sure that we put a card in the post to congratulate somebody we've interviewed a few times before? So it'll be good to send him a card and just wish him good luck and congratulations. And I hope he receives many more.
Definitely, definitely, that would do.
Yeah, to our listeners, thank you very much for tuning in tonight when we hosted Mrs. Joyce Chiavala, who is a widow for the late Polo Polo goalkeeper, Edward Chiavala, talking to her on the 23rd anniversary of it's an anniversary or memorial of having lost the dear husband. She highlighted a lot of issues that they've actually gone through, a lot of challenges, but despite that, there have been people who have been very helpful. She singled out people like Kalusha Bwalya, who is a former FAS president, who was a personal friend and brother to the late Efod Chiavala, as being one of the people who have been very, very helpful. And thank you very much for tuning in. And myself here in London, Eric Njovu, and my colleague in Nottingham, Mweti Momba, good night. And we'll meet again on Thursday, same place, same time.
Wagamba pilato wakashikefia blaka isana mataki ya malaki lekeni ya mataki wala minister ataki wa mpokene chimuswaki wa mikontole na baki kulichishaki chachine wagamba. You're listening to Crossfire Radio wagamba chachine UK wa Zambia.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony there is peace. Dan in